Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue. We have a lot of good stuff to talk about, a lot of meaty subjects. Just since they're great because they're, you know, some of them are depressing and awful, but you know, good meaty subjects to discuss this morning. Let me introduce the panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. I notice you have your eyeglasses on. Is there a reason for that? It's very distinguished.
I honestly have had my eyeglasses on for the last 2 years.
Shows you how perceptive I am.
I know that because I am unable to read anything without them.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm glad. Is your seat higher? You can see over the counter. That's great. Okay.
Meaty topics introducing the panel. Let's get back on track.
Sometimes I'm difficult to notice. Also, Ira Fussfeld is here.
See, I noticed that you were wearing your Patriots jacket.
Yes, that's where I thought he was going. That's where I thought he was going. Thank you. Ira Fussfeld is here. Good morning, Ira.
Good morning. Happy May Day. Is today May 1st?
It's May Day.
Make it May Day.
May Day.
Okay, May Day. We may be calling May Day in about 10 minutes. if not sooner.
He is the Daily Freeman publisher emeritus, and our dear friend Rosemary Armeo is here.
So meaty topics, I guess, that we can't talk about the Courtney love letter or George Clooney's engagement, right?
Well, the George Clooney engagement thing is fascinating.
So is the Courtney love letter.
Yes,
wow.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway.
Do you want to talk about Rob Ford?
Yeah, oh, that's right, another one. He's going to get help. A new crack cocaine film came out, and it's only from recent. It's not like a year ago. And so he's saying, yes, he's going to get some help.
For alcohol abuse.
It said substance abuse. Did he mean
it? Well, it's, in his thing, it said that he was that's you.
Playing
that's
us.
Me.
No,
I'm sorry. Yeah. It was a video film Saturday. Reports of Ford is seen smoking what a drug dealer described to the paper as crack cocaine from a copper-colored pipe. Two Globe and Mail reporters viewed the video, and the publication said it was shot in what appears to be Ford's sister's basement. The paper said the substance in the pipe could not be confirmed. But, you know...
Well, whatever.
I tell you, he's become a comic figure because of what he looks like and all of the kinds of things that we've seen him do.
Right.
And at the root of it is that the guy has got a problem, and finally he's going to rehab. Let's hope it takes. Because although it sounds like he's not a politician with whom I would agree on the issues, he does seem to be an effective politician. People liked him in that town. He worked hard in that town, and the fact that he became an international joke because of this addiction is sad, and you know, maybe, you know, we'll wish him well, as they say.
Yeah, that's far more compassionate than I am. It's like we have lots of talented, hardworking, ambitious people, and they don't have substance abuse. I'd rather have them in office.
I am with you, Rosemary. Yeah. Untypically, I am with you. I think, you know, this is exactly right. You know, you want to feel badly for people who get themselves into a mess, but not when they're at the head of, you know, of
I don't
a
want
city
them directing
at a time
the government.
Like this.
Right.
You don't want to do
so still, you know, it's like, There's the tape, and then the tape, and then another tape, and then all of the stuff where he's roughing people up and the and screaming and yelling, and there's all this thing, and he weathers all that, and the campaign goes on, and now, even now, as a new video comes out, he's still not resigning.
No.
It's just, I'm going to take a break from the campaign so I can seek help.
And Joe, what is astounding, if you see the story on the TV.
On the TV.
There are...
T-E-E.
Right. There are hundreds of wildly cheering supporters with his pictures and placards behind him as he goes into each of these things. So, and I find that mildly encouraging in that there are people who have, everybody has problems, maybe not this kind of problem, but, you know, they're standing behind that guy.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about, but now there has to be a point where people say, okay, but we need to do the business of the people.
Well, they took all his power away already.
They took all his power away, and he's running, and I don't know if there's been polling as to how well he might have been doing in an election race, but I would like to think that the good people of Toronto would recognize what they had and were not going to put him back in. But.
Yeah, well, remember, it's Toronto, and it's Canada, and really, it's a different kind of culture than we have in the States. And so there is something very attractive about the staid, often staid, but not always, personality of Canadian citizens who can think.
So it sounds like you're taking both sides of the argument against me. Whereas I was cheering that he's seeking help, you knocked that, but now you're going around the other way.
So you think I'm picking on you, huh?
No, I think you're playing it, having it both ways, so you can't be wrong.
No, but as they say, you know, a ship's searching for berth, any port in a storm.
I see. All right. Well, I'm up for that. Just wanted to clarify it.
His line, and this was said just a few days ago, prior to the tape coming out, but among allegations that he was still using, and he said, "I'm entitled to a personal life, and my personal life does not interfere with the work I do day in and day out for the taxpayers of this
Well, but
city.
Not if he's breaking the law.
So, hey, yeah, right. Okay, maybe I'm smoking crack in my sister's basement, but...
But not if he's breaking the law.
I'm not doing it on company time.
I mean, if somebody has a sexual preference and it's not against the law or something like that, you know, he's exactly right about his personal life.
Okay,
But why is it that if he's breaking the law, to say it again, he can get away with that?
The many times that we've seen before in the many videos where we've seen him and the admission of using crack, why were there no charges filed then?
It's a very interesting question. I don't know.
It seems like we're sort of beyond that. I don't understand it. And I guess it gets over this issue of we don't know what was in the pipe.
But yeah, that's right. But it is a political question, which is, does the populace have a right to know whether their leaders are breaking the law?
Yes, they do. Yes, there's. You're absolutely right on that. And that's, you know, the newspaper has done very well following him. In fact, it's become a full-time job following the mayor in that city.
Well, because every single one of these things is international news.
Sure.
They're reading about it in China.
And maybe this isn't an apt comparison, but it just seems that you have a, and I don't mean to belittle this in any way, shape, or form, because I think I don't know that it was strong enough, but you have in this country on Sunday, an NBA commissioner, a tape is released, and by Tuesday, the guy's out and banned for life. And here in Canada, you have a political... A mayor of a major city who is has been accused, admitted, and once again accused of doing a serious drug addiction, and nothing. Again, to your political question, nothing is being done.
But I remember many months ago when this first came up, and I, among others, said, "Well, he'll quit before the end of the week."
Right,
and of course he didn't. But they stripped him of all of his authority. Apparently, they went meaning the legislators in Toronto. They went as far as they could legally go, and the presumption and the hope was this guy was going to be smart enough to quit on his own, and he still hasn't. So he obviously is not that smart. But I'm not. To Joe's point, I mean, I don't know what else could have been done. There was no way to get him out of office beyond what they did.
Is this good for Toronto or bad for Toronto? I mean, you know, that's a very interesting thing. I mean, some places have great zoos, and some people have Rob Ford.
I think if Rob Ford gets back in the race and is on the ballot and wins, it's bad for Toronto.
Well, I got to tell you, Toronto is one beautiful
it's
city.
It's a lovely city.
I love that city. I don't know. I mean, but it certainly has brought Toronto to the top of the list.
By the way, on the other hand, if you've been following, and I have only been following it perfunctorily, National Basketball Association playoff series between Brooklyn and Toronto, and at a rally, the general manager of the Toronto Raptors gets up and yells before the microphones and cameras and the large crowd, "F Brooklyn." I mean, that is not exactly the genteelness that one would expect out of Toronto.
He was probably a hockey player before.
Well, that could be. He hit somebody. He had no teeth.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with other stories. A roundtable at WAMC.org for you to weigh in on all this good stuff. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Windy Hill Farm Nursery, Orchard, and Garden Shop, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering spring-blooming magnolias and shadblow, flowering cherries and plums in small and specimen sizes. WindyHillFarmInc.com. Sundog Cider at Salacqua, Locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered and naturally gluten-free. Handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York. SundogCider.com. And the Research Foundation for SUNY, supporting SUNY to advance innovation and opportunity across New York State. RFSUNY.org.
Democrats are upset with the GOP after a filibuster of the proposal to raise the minimum wage with the Republican-led filibuster of a Senate proposal to raise the federal minimum wage to $10.10 on Wednesday. Democrats moved swiftly to frame the vote as an example of the gulf that exists between the two parties on matters of economic fairness and upward mobility. The question is not just one of money, they said, but also of morality. And in doing so, the Democrats returned to the themes that were successful for their party and President Obama in 2012 when they convinced swing voters that Democrats were mindful of the best interests of all Americans, not just those who are powerful and wealthy. And with that, I set up to this question, which is, if that's true and we take that at its face value, then do we say the Republicans haven't learned, or do we say that the Republicans are playing to their base and they know exactly what they're doing here, Alan?
I think the
Democrats.
I think the Democrats are playing to their base. They know they have an issue here that is going to be incredible.
No, I mean, as far as the Republicans in the filibuster,
They're committing suicide.
Okay.
In my mind, they're committing suicide because there are great numbers of people who can't get by on the kind of money that the minimum wage offers in this country. We do know all the studies are showing this increasing distance between those who have the most and the middle class is getting wiped out. And I do think that this is an issue which the Democrats feel, like the women's issue, like all these others, will help them. I think that the Republicans are making a terrible mistake here.
Well, 2 points I would make. I thought Ted Cruz's idea was brilliant. It's like, I'm doing this for the African Americans out there, the minorities who will lose their jobs as small businesses cope with a higher payment for everyone. They'll have fewer people to whom to pay it, and that will affect minorities. Brilliant move. And I think they also are making hay out of the idea that the Democrats are doing this knowing, bringing up this legislation and this idea, knowing that it will never get through, and so it's purely political. And that's true. That played to me. And I agree with the idea, but I still think it was kind of wasting
time. I agree with that. I think it's political on both sides. And what I don't understand...
Yeah, but who's got the votes?
Well, that's what I don't understand about it. I always believe... I start from the premise that people are smarter than perhaps they deserve to be credited with. But there are people in the Republican Party who have decided, presumably, that this is the correct position to take. And I would react as you did and as Rosemary did, that this is nuts. They're blowing this huge number of people who are not going to vote for them as a result. But somebody on the Republican aisle or a strategist or somebody said, yeah, this is the position that we ought to take. So are they that stupid, or do they simply see something that we don't see?
If you were listening to the BBC as I was at 4 a.m. this morning.
Oh, I missed that.
On the way in, yeah. You would have heard a wonderful story in which they were talking about Mitch McConnell running in Kentucky and his opponent, his Tea Party, basically, opponent running against him. And they went around and they interviewed people on both sides of the and they interviewed a lot of moderate Republicans who were saying, we are killing our party. with this stuff, and they are.
Well, don't you think that's why the filibuster was time for now, to prevent it from coming to a vote? It's just like the whole vote that wasn't made that might have kept the country from going into decline of the government,
Actually not. I think they may have thought that that was what they were doing, but they gave the Democrats a terrific opportunity. And the Democrats said, we'll be back with this later in the year. We'll try it again. And every time they filibuster it and every time they pull this stuff, it helps the Democrats because of the civil war that is going on in the Republican Party.
I still don't think Democrats look good. They're talking a good game and completely ineffective in making it come across. There's not a higher wage, and there's not gun control. And yes, we're all on the same side, but okay, do your job and get it through.
Well, yes, but on the one hand, you have a group that want to give the middle class a little boost, or the lower middle class
a boost.
On the other hand, you have a group that say hell no with a bunch of spurious arguments, and I think they are spurious arguments. But one could argue it any way you want. The GAO is apparently, the Government Accounting Office, whatever they call it now, is apparently helped with this and said, yes, there'll be job losses, you know, as a result of this. But every time the Democrats get this issue, there are two choices in American politics, the Democrats and the Republicans. And if the Republicans are saying all those people, no minimum wage for whatever reason, I think they come out on the losing side.
Sure. I think we also need to look at the whole debate over job creation, too. What's the point of creating or keeping jobs that don't pay a living wage? Get rid of them. Get real jobs and build it up slowly. I think we might be better off. I'm not hearing that argument anyplace.
Well,
I ran a business, and most of the positions that we had for most of the time that I was running it were above minimum wage.
Sure.
But there were some when we had a mailroom that were minimum wage, and we tried to keep about a quarter ahead of the minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, and it's not the same for all businesses, but an increase in the minimum wage is no doubt going to hurt a business, and depending on what the business is and what the need for employees is, it could create job losses. I think it's despicable if the reason for the job losses is because a very profitable company is not going to make as large a profit.
Right.
But if it is a company that's on the precipice, that's going to hurt you.
There's a lot of interest.
Can we pause there?
Okay.
Excellent. We're going to pause because we have to go to a break, and we'll be back with your comments as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Just a reminder, make sure that you take WAMC with you. Download our new mobile app for streaming audio, headlines, podcasts, and more. Just go to the iTunes or Google Play. Oh, thank you very much, David. Just delivered a Diet Pepsi, and I'm very happy. Just go to iTunes or Google Play App Store, search WAMC, and install. Remember that. Let me reintroduce the panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here, University at Albany professor and investigative journalist Rosemary Armeo joins us, and Daily Freeman publisher emeritus Ira Fussfeld joins us as well. Welcome all, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, letters.
Michael says, you can't afford to pay your workers a living wage. You have failed in creating a working business model. You should not open that business. William says that the Roundtable Forum is one of my prime sources for information, intelligent discussion of current topics. Lately, it seems that the choice of words by the panel members is at times crude and bordering on vulgar. There was Ted, who said, when I was a real question, 18 years old in 1971, my minimum wage job did not afford me the ability to live on my own. I knew I had to enhance my life, position, insight, education, etc. Why is that a living wage the criteria? John Brown says, for your information, Toronto also has a world-class zoo. You should visit it the next time you are there. And then Dear Roundtable, says David, I apologize for my lack of formatting here and asking a question, but I wondered if you had covered the Environmental Protection Agency versus EME Homer City Generation Supreme Court decision. Thank you for your time. And then the one that really got to me, I shouldn't admit that, is Bruce, who said, I cannot believe Alan just compared being gay with being a crack addict, unconscionable. Well, I don't know who's looking for trouble here. I never said anything like that. I said if it is politically relevant, if you are a crack addict and being the mayor of a city, and if it's a personal thing like sexual orientation, it should be personal. Come on. Now, stop that.
Alan says a lot of outrageous things, but we have to defend him when he's charged with saying something that sounds outrageous, but that he didn't say. If you get my drift.
Yeah. Got it. Thank you, guys.
I'm waiting for this to reload. My computer is very slow this morning. All right. Want to talk about Bill de Blasio and the New York teachers?
Sure.
Okay. Mayor Bill de Blasio and New York's main teachers union are on the verge of announcing a deal to settle a nearly five-year labor dispute in which the union has sought more than $3 billion in back pay from the city. The agreement would include retroactive pay equivalent to roughly 8% of salaries, annual raises of up to 2% a year, and substantial savings for the city on health coverage, according to one official involved in the talks. Three officials who insisted on anonymity because the deal had not been made final or announced said it could be disclosed at City Hall on Thursday. One official said the two sides would announce a nine-year contract. Is this good news?
Was it John R. Arbuckle? On television years and years ago, I think it was Coffee who said, you get what you pay for, or was that Mr. Goodwrench? I've never quite remembered it.
Wasn't Mr. Goodwrench.
But he said, Mr. Goodwrench said something else. He said, I think it was John R. Arbuckle. Mr. Goodwrench, I said, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Here's what I'm thinking. Everybody knew that Bill de Blasio was running with the backing of the unions. And everybody was watching to see what was going to happen. Was he going to have to pay off? And in fact, one could make the argument he got a good deal because Bloomberg was not going to pay the teachers, which they deserved. I mean, you can't work without a contract and then not get paid. However, he did get concessions, de Blasio did, on things like health care and teachers putting a little bit more into the fund themselves. But it's a lot of money. And I have preached this over and over again, no matter what Ira says about outrageousness. And that is that when people give money to a candidate, they know what they're going to get back. And I think in this case, that's what political action and political contributions have been about. Now, I interviewed the head of the Working Families Party. Everybody knows that if the Working Families Party puts up a candidate, that Cuomo in his reelection effort goes down substantially in terms of his numbers. Yet, there are my people who I know quite well are telling me that the unions, for whatever their reasons, are backing Cuomo, and therefore the Working Families Party, which depends on union money, is not going to back off, and they're going to endorse Cuomo. That's what I'm hearing. You get what you pay for.
Well, that sounds like it was bad that the unions wanted and paid money, campaign contributions, towards a candidate who would give them fair treatment, which is what this is, a five-year labor dispute. That's ridiculous. It should have been solved long ago. Why is that such an outrageous demand? What I cannot tell from reading about this is, will it detract in any way from current programming or funding? Will people have to lose their jobs in order to pay off this past dispute? How did this dispute get to this state that it was unsolvable through what, at least one other administration?
So let me respond to that. I tried to be fair in the analysis. I belong to a union. I belong to several unions, you know, in my life, including SUNY during that time. There are some who are saying, Rosemary, that other civil servants, other than the teachers, who may not have backed the candidate the same way, are now saying this is going to cost us. Because obviously,
if the money will come out of the money that might have gone to them.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think this is the way the system works. Unions give money, but they expect something back for it.
Anybody who gives money expects something. That is how the system works. In this case, you know, to evaluate it, I'm not sure what came first. De Blasio long has had a major interest in education. That he's giving more attention to that union and that issue than to others seems to me almost separate from the money. It's natural that the teachers would have picked up on his campaigning, on his stances, and have supported him.
There's no question that the reason he won is because he had them.
Sure.
I have had the occasion, on many occasions over the last 25 years, to negotiate labor contracts on behalf of management. And I've always said that it's very difficult, if not impossible, to comment on a labor negotiation if you're not in the room.
You're not part of it.
I mean, I've seen too many times positions that I took at the bargaining table spoken out against by the union, who used what I said, twisted my words, and made it sound like something else. So the only people who really know what's going on are the people there. And the only people who – so I not only do not know what specific issues created the five-year delay that you talked about. I don't know what the fiscal condition – there are so many things that come together.
Sure.
But where I would go is this, just to be provocative. When you said you get what you pay for, I was going to ask –
which, by the way, is Fram Oil Filters. Tony told us that.
Well, I wasn't sure whether you were referring to the voters vis-a-vis de Blasio
or the union, or
you were saying the teaching profession in New York City may well have declined or is not attracting good enough teachers because their pay is not commensurate with what we need. And now I would argue that there's probably some sense to that if you're not paying well, you're not going to get good teachers, and then your students are not going to be educated well, and we're going to get what we pay for down the road with an uneducated group of students. So there's that to think about. But the final thing is, and I would say this in general terms, I've been a union member as well, so I understand that mentality. But I feel like that when you have a union as large as, say, a teachers union, and you increase teachers' pay by X percent or not, that you are rewarding people who shouldn't be rewarded to the detriment of those who probably should be making more money. I'm much more in favor of merit pay and paying a lot of money to the real good people and not nearly as much to the others.
There may be some merit in what you're saying, Ira. On the other hand, I'm going to tell you this right now. I think our discussion as to why our students aren't doing better, and I think many of them are doing well, but it's often because we are not recruiting the finest people that we are capable of doing. I think if you start, my feeling, and I've said it again and again, if you start a teacher's salary at $70,000, you're going to get a whole group of people that you would not have gotten otherwise. I often ask my SUNY classes, how many of you are going into education? And nobody raises their hands. And I always say, if it started at $70,000, would you? And every hand in the room goes up. So it does have to do with money. And you're right. The unions and others have to permit people to be excessed when they stink. I mean, it's that simple. And we know that that's an issue. But raising salaries, I think, is terribly important.
Well, you know, I know in where I live in Ulster County, I've noticed over the years, and I think it corresponds with the economy going down and people struggling in their own everyday lives, more resentment at teachers and teachers' unions because we, the taxpayers, are paying into their salaries that are in more often than not higher, particularly as it relates to health benefits, than we in fact have ourselves. And then people will say, and I will agree up front that it's simplistic, but people will say, oh, the teachers work, you know, a short day, you know, and a short year, and they get all the vacations, and they get all the snow days, and they get some. Now, I understand it's more complicated than that, but there is, I believe, in among the public now, more of an anti-teacher sensibility.
Well, we also want things from teachers that we're not getting now. We do want a longer school day, and we do want a longer school year. And if we're not willing to pay a salary that will accomplish those reforms, it's never going to happen. So there's a whole lot at stake here. If de Blasio is taking steps that will make teachers happier, I think that's great. I'm just unclear from what this decision is all about.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're going to hear about it later today.
No, that's a fair question.
Yeah.
What is the decision all about? Is it political motivation? Is it political payback? Is it doing the right thing, which I think it is?
Is it going to just pay back some people for things they did in the past?
Yeah. But I think, and I, I, I don't want you to feel I'm talking to you directly here, because I'm not.
As you turn to the right.
but I think this is an ignorant and not you, but an ignorant and uninformed position on what teachers do. Mm-hmm. They take the stuff home with them. They work all night long. I was married to a teacher who, and still am after 43 years, who went on to college teaching and still has survivor's instinct about survivor's guilt about what her colleagues who were left there teaching five courses a day. She went to teach college, teaching five courses a day, and every day my Sarah's significant other has to be at school at 7 a.m. and is there until sometimes 7 at night.
My son is a middle school teacher, and I also would attest to it. But these are not things that you get. That's not the kind of dedication you get by paying $70,000 rather than $50,000. Those people go into that field. My son loves kids. He loves the worst at-risk kids. And if he can turn them around, his day is made. Yeah, it's not a money thing. That said, I think the unions are totally right to stand up for teachers, and they're effective. That's why they're disliked, because they're amazingly effective at what they do. They have gone to politicians. De Blasio, as one of them, and said, "We have votes. We'll deliver. Give us what we need." Good for them.
And the worst kinds of politicians are the scapegoating politicians. The ones who say things like they get out at 3 o'clock, they do not. Who say that they start at 9 o'clock and they have huge vacations. When college teachers, by the way, are long gone. Teachers are still sitting there with their kids until late into the year, and their summer vacation is not what it is being portrayed as being. I just think
teachers change lives.
Yeah, and I'm, as you point out, and let me underscore, I'm not necessarily taking that position, but I think you'll agree that position is out there. It's often reflected in school board school district budget votes.
But it's terrible. I mean, that's my position. Sure, you're right. It's out there.
Then,
of course, it's out there.
Then I would say that
there's also been a lot of investigative reporting showing that the information from the union is simply wrong. That teachers don't make the small salaries they're projected to. In many places, when you look at their salaries versus those of comparable positions, say police or hospital workers, you'll find that they do very well, and that has led to some of this resentment too. The union takes the strongest position, which is this is a very important job to us in our society. Pay as much as you can.
Well, it's not only the union. I think thinking people know how valuable our kids are. I mean, I got into real trouble one time when I said teachers were more important than doctors were, because doctors can heal you and the rest. But you give a little kid to our teachers and you say, "This is my son, my daughter, my grandchild, and I expect you to take them and to mold them and to work with them and to do
that." It's also more complicated than that. I want teachers to make a lot of money, but I also want them held accountable.
We're not talking about
we do a terrible job getting rid of bad teachers.
I said that already.
Right.
That's on the union. The union comes back and they always say the same thing. The provisions are there to allow you, if the superintendent is doing the right thing and giving reports every week or whatever, you can get rid of a bad teacher. But it is an onerous and impossible task.
Right.
We are going to take a break. We welcome your letters, and we'll read from a few of them when we come back, and we'll wrap up with our final issue of the day. But first, the short break.
Support comes from Topperson, developed to provide relief for those living in pain associated with neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Topperson.com. New England Falconry, Hadley, Massachusetts, offering introductory, extended, and group hands-on sessions, as well as hunts through field and forest with a trained hawk. NewEnglandFalconry.com. And The Blue Marble, a world of gifts, Amherst, Massachusetts, featuring handcrafted jewelry from around the world. TheBlueMarble.biz.
Welcome back. Just about 5 or 6 minutes left in our program this morning. Time for a couple letters, and then we'll get to our final issue for the day. Alan?
Okay. Now, remember to keep them short, folks. Otherwise, I'm going to edit them for you. Walker says, communities and adults have a role here in raising educational standards and meeting them. If adults do not live what they preach by showing in all that they do, they are continuing to learn and want to become better communicators, better problem solvers, and so on as they grow older. We have not created a culture of learning. Okay. Andrew says, I think we did that one already. Robert says, on the minimum wage, making the minimum wage jump from $8 to $10, $10 is a huge percentage wage increase. What is the employer going to say to the employee that has worked hard to get the $10 going when he asks for equivalent raise? How about the rest of the underpaid in the $10 to $15 range? Is this going to bring them happiness and prosperity? Sydney says, this is the same kid who told me I must contribute to the fund drive, even though I listened to podcasts. He says, so who pays for the podcast? That's it. Russ says, one issue I never see addressed is who pays for the higher minimum wages. It can't only be employers. If McDonald's raises the minimum wage, do prices go up? Are employees less likely to get raises and all like that? That's it.
Roundtable at WAMC.org. Final issue. The circumstances around the death of convicted killer Clayton Lockett has triggered criticism from across the country and revived the debate over the death penalty and the use specifically of lethal injection. Lockett had been scheduled for Tuesday night at the Oklahoma State Penitentiary. A gruesome scene unfolded after Lockett was deemed unconscious, but then began grimacing, moving his head, and trying to get off the gurney. It was described by a witness as a horror, leaving several of them shaken and disturbed. The White House weighed in yesterday and said the execution was not conducted humanely. Officials in Oklahoma said they would investigate
the
botched execution that has drawn worldwide scrutiny. Yes, Jay Carney said, we have a fundamental standard in this country that even when the death penalty is justified, it must be carried out humanely. And I think that everyone would recognize that this case fell short of that standard.
Well, did I've never understood, you know, for those of us who have excruciatingly bought, you know, a 16-year-old pet to be put down to the vet. And it's done, as you say, humanely. And you're holding the dog in your arms and the vet, and the dog goes. It can't walk anymore, can't breathe anymore, all of those things to begin with. You don't want to do it, you do it. It's a terribly difficult situation, and we all know it. But they find the drug that does it, and fast.
Apparently there's some trouble finding the drugs in the right place. It's not so easy to kill yourself or to kill somebody by injection as we would have thought. This was terribly mishandled.
And this
they
is also
shut
a new,
the windows on it. Yeah,
it's a new alternative. It's a new component.
Because the one that they did want to use that they know works is in such short supply because, you know, who's making drugs to kill people? And so they use this drug. It totally goes awry. They shut the curtain. We don't really know how that man died, which is, it's just dreadful. These are people who are being put to death because they've tortured other humans, and they're being put to death by torture. I'm sorry, that's not even civilized. And you add to that the racial inequality of who's punished. You add to that the chance of error, which is enormous. And it just is, I don't understand why there are only five states
The last thing always gets me, the thing about the error.
Yeah.
And we have seen it again and again. However, when you read what this guy did, it was really terrible.
Doing what he did.
Does anybody have trouble besides me using the word humane and death penalty in the same sentence?
No.
I still end up dead, but
hanging, and I mean, why not just shoot them? Would that work?
Why don't we firing simply squad. Not have a death penalty, as I believe is the case in most civilized countries? Seems to me,
five of our states have been.
Yeah,
and
so
the
let's put them in jail and throw away the key. It is to have no hope for parole and to to see nothing but the bars for the remainder of his life. And by the way, if I believe Mario Cuomo, and I did on many things, I believe he often said that it's because people will say, well, we're going to be society is going to be paying for this man or woman to live in jail for the remainder of their life. And Cuomo used to say convincingly that it's more expensive to execute than not to execute because of lawsuits and et cetera.
And he used to say the only thing that he'll hear from the for the rest of his life is the sound of his toilet seat going up and down.
Right. That's right. So
you know, that's not going to happen. Very nice. I agree with it. It isn't going to happen. All the experts say that this latest mistake, and it's not the first. There have been many others, will simply result. The Supreme Court will support this in some additional technical alterations in how you can kill and using what drugs, but it is not going to eliminate.
We're out of time. We can talk about this tomorrow.
Yeah, we wasted all that time on Rob Ford.
That's all right. We went long on teachers, too.
Yeah, we did. Okay.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk about many other things and maybe some of the same things. We welcome your letters. Keep the conversation going. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Thank you all for being here.
Joe, do you usually wear glasses when you do this show?
Thank you for noticing, Ira. We'll be back after this break.